Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, I don't think we should talk about this.
Come on, why not?
People might misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know?
No, but it's a part of life.
And the radio might not want to play this record either.
But everybody has sex.
I know, but everybody should be making love.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things. Let's talk about things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
Hey, you sexy V. You guys know what time it is. It's time for a real talk with Miss V. That's right. I'm your host, Miss V. This tall lady out of the D, and I got my co-host, Greg, out of the OKC. What's up, Greg?
Oh, man, enjoying this nice hot weather.
It is actually a beautiful weekend here. This weekend was actually bearable. And when I say bearable, it really was bearable. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. As Goldilocks said, it was just right.
Yeah, not fucking here. It's been hot, hot, muggy, hot.
So, before me and Greg came on the show, we were talking about Juneteenth. And I love when people ask me about Juneteenth. And I love it because it gives me a chance to talk about my ancestors, you know. And Greg asked me, what was Juneteenth? And I explained to him that was the day that the last slaves in Galveston, Texas, were told that they were free. It was June 19th, 1865, a year, really more than a year after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. So it's recognized, it's more recognized now than it has been in the past. But for African Americans, it's a very significant date because that's when everyone was free. It doesn't mean that we were able to vote. It doesn't, even though the 15th Amendment says that we could vote, it does not say that we could all vote. What it said was that we were no longer the property of anyone. And despite what some people may have thought in 2016, and it's sad that I have to say this, but there are quite a few people, even to this very day, who really think that if the previous administration, when they got in office, that they were going to be able to get a, quote-unquote, free maid, free butler, basically a slave. And nobody worked for free. And I always tell people, how would you feel if you got up and went to work every day and got your election and didn't get paid? You know, instead of, and I think that when people, you know, look at it, imagine when, and this is an example that it's really hard, but I think it's a reality for a great deal of this country, regardless of what race you are. Imagine going through a divorce and your children were snatched from you in that divorce, and you never saw them again. And they were given to someone that you did not know, and they were raised, and they were made to do all their housework and everything else. Imagine how you would feel, and that's what slavery is. And I think that when we don't give a real face to it, instead of, you know, because the argument, which is true, when people say, well, I didn't enslave anybody, so why am I being punished or why am I being looked at? Well, you have to be able to understand it. I am the third generation of my family that is not a sharecropper. And I say that because there are people who like to say, oh, well, we're a sharecropper. I'm the third generation. My great-grandmother was a sharecropper. My grandmother worked, she came to the North to work so that she did not have to be a sharecropper. My mother never did any sharecropping other than when she was on the back of my great-grandmother when she was out there picking cotton. I can tell you I've never picked cotton in my life other than looking at them damn cottonwood trees that I hate seeing. Have I ever picked cotton? No. But because I was blessed enough to have my great-grandmother tell me about it, who was born in the 1800s, my great-grandmother, was born in 1894, and I was blessed to not only know her, I grew up with her. She did not pass away until 1992. So
yeah.
I was very blessed to have someone who was born in the 1800s and got a chance to vote, you know, all the things that we take for granted. I got a chance to speak to someone and grow up with someone who was able to explain it to me very clearly. So I do understand, and I see things probably a whole lot different than a lot of people because I had that first-person account to hear it. I didn't hear from, well, let me tell you about what my, you know, our ancestors. My great-grandmother was able to tell me because her parents were slaves. You know, so when you're able to speak to someone and have that knowledge with them, it's a whole lot different than to hear it from a history book.
Yeah.
Or have it paraphrased word of mouth. So I take it very seriously. Juneteenth, I did not learn about until I was in my 30s. And I really didn't learn about it really good until in my 40s when it started being made prominent because it was only celebrated in the South, and it was only celebrated really in Texas and, like, Oklahoma. And it wasn't all of Oklahoma, but it was the southern states. That's who celebrated it. Because here in the North, we were free.
Yeah. And so that was in Texas. Oklahoma was not, I mean, it was considered basically a Indian state territory and, you know, nothing really done. I mean, the Indians actually fought with the Confederates during the Civil War because they owned slaves.
Well, I'm going to read you guys from Wikipedia. Because speaking of Oklahoma, Oklahoma is actually part of this. It doesn't – I'm going to read this because I'm glancing at it while we're talking. But this is from Wikipedia, and it says Juneteenth, also known as Freedom Day, Liberation Day, Jubilee Day, and Emancipation Day. I do not call it Emancipation Day. So, and a lot of people will not call it Emancipation Day. Just so people understand, Wikipedia is not completely true because we do not call it Emancipation Day. It's a holiday celebrating the emancipation of those who have been enslaved in the United States. Originating in Galveston, Texas, it is now celebrated annually on June 19th throughout the United States with an increasingly official recognition. It is commemorated on the anniversary date of June 19, 1865, announcement of General Order No. 3 by Union Army General Gordon Granger proclaiming freedom from slavery in Texas. President Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation had officially outlawed slavery in Texas and the other states in rebellion against the Union almost 2.5 years earlier. Enforcement of the proclamation generally relied on the advance of Union troops. Texas, as the most remote of the slave states, had a low presence of Union troops as the American Civil War ended. Thus, enforcement there had been slow and inconsistent before Granger's announcement. Although Juneteenth generally celebrates the end of slavery in the United States, it was still legal in practice in two Union border states, Delaware and Kentucky, until later that year when ratification of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution abolished chattel slavery nationwide in December. Additionally, Indian territories that had sided with Confederacy named the Choctaw did not release those enslaved until 1866. Celebrations
right.
date to 1866 at first involving church inter-communities gathering in Texas. It spread across the South and became more commemorized in the 1920s and 1930s. Often centering on food festival during the civil rights movement of the 1960s, it was eclipsed by the struggle for post-war civil rights, but grew in popularity in the 1970s with a focus on African-American freedom and arts. By the 21st century, Juneteenth was celebrated in most majority cities across the United States. Activists are campaigning for the United States Congress to recognize Juneteenth, okay, where's my mouth? Juneteenth as a national holiday. Hawaii and South Dakota are the only states that do not recognize Juneteenth, according to the Congressional Research Service. Modern observation is primary in local celebrations. Traditions include public readings of the Emancipation Proclamation, singing traditional songs such as Swing Low, Swing Chariot, and The Fairy Voice and Sing, and reading works by noted African-American writers such as Ralph Ellison and Maya Angelou. Celebrations include rodeos, street fairs, cookouts, family reunions, park parties, historical reenactments, and Miss Juneteenth contests. The Muskogees, descendants of Black Seminoles who escaped from U.S. slavery in 1852 and so then, Cocala, Mexico, also celebrate Juneteenth. I wear a T-shirt on Juneteenth that said it has July 4th on it, and it's crossed out, and it says Juneteenth, 1865, because my ancestors weren't free in 1776. And anybody who knows me, nobody really hears me talking about the 4th of July. For those who are trying to get Juneteenth as a national holiday, I have a problem with that. Just like I have a problem with the 4th of July, but my problem is that I don't want this to be a day off work. How about we make it, instead of giving people a day off work, how about we make it a mandatory day of learning where you actually have to talk about it, where you have to be educated on it and you have to understand where it's about. Because a day off work don't teach nobody shit.
Yeah.
I think it should be a national day of learning and reflection, not a fucking day off work. A holiday gives people a time off work. Guess what? Nothing against – why do I want to get off work? It's not making nobody remember. I don't want to see another fucking damn sale. You know what I don't want to see? A Juneteenth sale. Because, you know, we already got fucking Memorial Day sales. We got Father's Day sales. We got Mother's Day sales. Shit. We damn near got Halloween sales. We got Thanksgiving sales. We got Christmas sales. We got Labor Day sales. You name it, we got a fucking sale for it. Guess what? I want it to be, we have, they don't call it out, but we have MLK sales. You know, that weekend, there's sales going on. We have President's Day sales. I don't want this to be a fucking day off work. I want it to be a day of peer education about what African Americans went through. Why is Juneteenth so important? What is the, you know, relevance of the Emancipation Proclamation in this? Not a fucking day off work, but maybe I'm just blown off steam and I don't understand. What do you think, Greg?
Well, no, I think that would be the best thing. I mean, have it a learning, educational day and not be a day off of work, because if you're off a day at work, especially in June, it's like, I'm going to the lake, I'm going to the pool, I'm going wherever, and you ain't going to learn shit. So, if it is at work and you take 4 hours and have videos and learn, man, that would be awesome.
And like I said, when people say, oh, we want to make it a national holiday, I understand why Dr. King's birthday is a national holiday. I do not have a problem with it because actually Dr. King's birthday is when anybody, I want people to look at Dr. King's birthday. It is the National Volunteer Day. And I think when we had the show, I talked about it. And I'm almost positive I did, that I said go volunteer and do something. We were still in the heart of the pandemic, so it was really hard. But I did virtual volunteering. And I do like the fact that they do make it, and they even talk about it. You know, I will say I will commend the national media that they do broadcast that as a national day of volunteering.
Yeah.
If you're going to make Juneteenth relevant, I want it to be a national day of education. And if people are in the workplace, let's say Juneteenth, like this year, falls on a Saturday. Then on June 17th, when your ass is at work, I think it should be mandatory that employers take half of the day educating their employees at work.
Yeah.
It's going to cost some companies some money, but guess what? If they had the fucking day off work, it was going to cost them money too. But you take half that day and you have a speaker come in, or you have you show a video, and I don't mean a video of Malcolm X. I mean real historians talk. There are African-American historians all over the country. You can go to any university, including the University of Oklahoma, the University of Texas, the University of Michigan. Pretty much every single university in this country has an African-American studies department. And you have someone come in from that department and speak on it, because those are the people who know it better than probably everyone else, because this is what they study. As a person who has taken African-American studies, I can tell you, I learned a lot. I learned more when I took African-American studies than I had ever learned the whole time I went my full 12 years of high school. I learned more in one semester than I learned in 12 years of high school, which is sad, about African-American studies. And I have a problem with that, that it took me going to college, which means if I wouldn't have gone to college, I wouldn't have learned what I learned.
Yeah.
I learned about the black bourgeoisie. I learned about Black Wall Street. I learned all that stuff in college. I didn't learn about that in – I didn't learn that through K through 12. I didn't. So, yeah, I do have a problem with not teaching. And anybody who says, well, we don't want to hear about the bad, well, guess what? Then if you don't want to hear about the bad, then don't talk about Columbus, how he took America. Because Columbus did not land on Plymouth Rock. He stole this country.
Yeah.
He thought he was in India. He didn't even know where the fuck he was going, okay? He thought he was in India. That's why he called the Native Americans Indians. Because he thought he was in India. So, don't talk about Christopher Columbus, a man who basically brought diseases and everything to a country that had nothing to do with Europe at all, and stole land from these people. The Native Americans are still suffering. We have such a small Native American population, it's ridiculous. And we don't talk about their history enough. But that's me up on my high horse today. I'm going to bring on Randy, because, you know, y'all know I could go. Hey, Randy.
Hey, beautiful. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Oh, so tired. Oh, so tired.
I saw your post. I'm sorry about your family member that passed away. I don't respond to Facebook posts. For anybody who says, oh, Ms. V, you know, I don't really respond to Facebook posts because, remember, my Facebook page is also my business page, and what I don't want is for anyone to think that as a business we're going to sit here. Because, well, if I said something about every single person who was a friend of Miss V the Toy Lady, when something happened, you know what they would say? They would expect me to say about everybody. So I don't say anything on the page, not because I don't care. It's out of respect so that everybody don't say that I'm being hypocritical if I don't say something about what somebody else does or something that happens. But my condolences are with you, Randy.
Oh, thanks. So how was your week?
It was good now that it's finally starting to cool down. I mean, it's still hot, but it's not like it was before. It's not unbearable.
Mm.
Oh, my puppies went to the groomer this week. Both dogs went to the groomer. My one dog, who don't like his damn face touched, the groomer was able to get it where he could see, so now he's being an asshole. And the puppy went to the groomer, and he got his nails grinded down. So they're doing better together, but they're both assholes. But it was so hot that the puppy was like, fuck it, I'm going to lay in my damn crate. He's learning to like his crate more without me putting him in there. I'm serious. It was hot. It was so damn hot one day. He was like, fuck this shit. I let him in the house. He went straight to the damn crate. He was like, fuck you. Because his crate sits like right near the vent. So it's the cool air blowing on him. He was like, fuck this shit. I'm going to the damn crate. Y'all can go to hell.
Oh, boy.
And I was on this past Monday on Sharjay's show, Unique with Sharjay.
Mm-hmm.
I was on this past Monday. They finally got me on.
Right.
I was looking a hot mess.
Oh. Yeah, I saw that show. I saw that show.
It took a while for me to get in, but... Finally got in.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go through like three different computers. I'm so used to using my laptop to do things. Well, fucking Facebook Live. When you're doing a live show, if you want people to join that live show who has a camera with you, they have to be on an Android device.
Right.
But the whole thing, when I signed off my Android, it would not let me sign in. It wouldn't let me join. So thank God I own an iPad. So I signed in from my iPad and I was able to get in. But do you know what it's like to have to go through four or five different damn devices to try to get into a show? I was like, okay. They said, y'all know y'all making shit complicated. They can never make shit easy. And I barely use my iPad. I'm not a big iPad person, so it was crazy because I had to charge up my iPad and everything and make sure it was working. And I just got my iPad, like, in November. So I didn't have to pay for it. That's why I have an iPad. For anybody who says they thought I was not an Apple person, no, I'm not an Apple person, but I entered a contest for Xfinity. They like sent this postcard to my house. They were like, hey, if you do this, you get entered and we'll send you like a swag bag. Well, I got the swag bag, so I wasn't worried about it. I got this email telling me I had won the contest. I had won an iPad. So I sent my information, and they actually sent me the iPad. So I got an iPad mini for free, and it's a nice one. But I think they thought that I was going to, like, add on to my Xfinity service, like, you know, so I would be paying, like, more of a bill. I have Wi-Fi in my house. I don't need to add anything onto my shit that I already got, okay? I don't have a plan for my tablet. I don't need a plan for my iPad. I don't need a plan for my doggone watch. I mean, I just think that sometimes these companies think that, hey, if we tell you that it could do this, we'll sell you a plan to go with it. No, I am good. I have Wi-Fi at my house for a reason. And that's why I have a hotspot on my phone. But, yeah, I really enjoyed the show. It was a good show. Sharjay, if you're listening, thank you for inviting me on. It's been so long since I've done an interview. I felt like a fish out of water. I have not done an interview in over 6 years. So
wow.
I really felt like a fish out of water. So I think I've got to get back into the swing of it. So, but it was nice and I had fun. We have 3 shows left, you guys. 3 shows, or is it 2? No, we've got
2
shows left.
2
shows after tonight. I will make it on the 27th. The baby shower ends, I get 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which is, I mean, that's, and if it didn't end at 4 o'clock, I would still be leaving by 4. I think 4 hours at a baby shower is enough. And anybody who knows how pregnant women, they go to sleep. And the baby shower I'm going to, she's due in September, so she's probably in that sleepy phase now where she's starting to sleep more. So, yeah. I'm sure we'll be out there by 4. I know I will. So we've got 2 more shows. Father's Day is next Sunday, so since I'm not a father, I'm not going to worry about it. And for you ladies, I'm going to put this out there.
Oh, whatever.
For all of you single parents and single female parents who said, I've been mom and daddy, so I should get a card also. Okay, so you got a dick now, too? Come on now, let's just let the men have their day. Let's let the men have their day.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know they're saying I'm being anti-woman, but I'm being pro-men. You know, I didn't provide the sperm. I provided the egg. That's why I got Mother's Day.
Yep.
I do not need a fucking card on Father's Day.
No. Now, for the fathers out there for Father's Day, if you are a part of your kid's life, then happy Father's Day. If not, you're a sad piece of fucking shit.
You're what we call a sperm donor.
Bingo.
You know, they've got egg donors, for Father's Day, they're sperm donors. And like I said, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, well, I'm a single parent, so I deserve, no, I do not need no fucking recognition on Father's Day. That's what I got Mother's Day for.
Yep.
Men, you can have your damn day. And I don't want nobody saying, Miss V, I'm hating. What am I hating on? I want to explain to me exactly what the fuck am I hating on. Because I don't have a dick. I don't produce sperm. I produce eggs. And I provide the milk. Therefore.
Yeah. Okay.
I nurse my children. I can say that wholeheartedly.
Oh, yeah.
I produce the milk. So I did not watch the Detroit Grand Prix. My goal is to actually attend a Grand Prix. So me and my daughter were talking about it. That is the only thing that we have not attended. Now, I have attended race cars. I have been to a racetrack, but the races that I was watching were when my uncle was alive, because my uncle had a he had a drag race car, so he had two Novas. He had so my daughter, she doesn't remember that because she was so little. So I told everybody, yes, I do know what it's like to be at a racetrack, but my daughter has never been in one. So we were discussing it, and next year we're going, because we're not taking our butt to Indy. We ain't going to Daytona. We're going to stay right here at home. Okay?
Oh, hell yeah. Indy.
So even though we could drive to Indy, we're just going to stay here. We're going to do it here at home, you know. That way, I mean, hell, we would have been home already anyway, because the race ended like at 3:34.
Yeah. And that thing, you've got actually two races right there in Michigan. You've got the Indy cars racing there on the island. And then
we've got the Michigan Speedway down and closer to the Indiana border.
Yeah. Yep. And that's where NASCAR races. So you got two races there that are both Indy and NASCAR.
I ain't going to Brooklyn,
okay? The only one I've been to has been there in Brooklyn.
I heard it's a nice track. I'm not going to Brooklyn. And that's because I can't go to Brooklyn and come home the same day. And when people say, oh, that's Michigan. No, you don't understand. Depending on what time the race ends, trying to drive out 94 to get back to Detroit is hell, because 94, you have a lot of parts of 94 that are dark at night that have no lights on it.
Right, right.
And I don't care what anybody says, driving at night, I think that once it hits like 11 p.m., it should actually be illegal to drive. And I only say that because the older I get, I realize that if it's dark on the fucking road, unless it's mandatory that you be out there, you don't need to be driving, because it's really hard to see. And I don't care what age you are. I don't care if you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. It is just hard to see when it gets dark outside at night. And it is the natural part of your body that if it's dark outside, it wants to go to sleep. I don't care how much sleep you've gotten through the day, that if it's dark outside, your body wants to shut down, because the darkness is a sign of rest. So I just, you know, I never thought I would say this, but I'm a big proponent that, and I'm going to say this because people are going to hate me, but I think from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m., and I say those times because at 4 o'clock you're starting to get up. But from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m., I don't think people should be allowed to drive. And this is not on, and I should say not on call driving. I know that people have to go to work and stuff like that, but I don't think it should be. I think that if you're talking about, hey, I'm going from here to California. Well, guess what? Come 10 p.m. at night, your ass got to shut the shit down. You can't get back on the road until fucking 4 a.m. It'll still be dark. You'll still be rush hour. But you can't be on the road. And I think that gives you time to rest. I think it gives you time to recover. And I think it will cut down on a lot of stuff that happens tonight. I think, and I know people will say, well, what about people go to bars? And okay, I ain't talking about bars. But hell, everybody know that if you on any of the major interstates in the middle of fucking nowhere, your ass ain't just came home from no bar, okay? Keep it real.
That's it.
If you ride an Interstate 65 in Alabama and you on the road at fucking 3 in the morning, your ass did not just come home from a fucking bar in some parts of it. If you're on Atlanta and you're on a major intersection there, if you're on I-75 goes from the north to the south, your ass know getting damn well there are parts of fucking I-75 that if you're on I-75 in the middle of bumfuck motherfucking Egypt, where the only thing that's open is the damn rest area, then your ass don't need to be driving after fucking 10 o'clock at night, because there ain't shit out there. And most of the time, there's no things open at that time of night. So if there's nothing fucking open, on the goddamn road. Seriously.
That's it.
From 10 p.m. to 4 a.m., I just think it should be illegal to drive long distances. I'm sure somebody's going to hear that and say that I'm out of my mind. What about truckers? I think truckers don't need to be out there. I don't think truckers need to be out there. They have to shut down for 8 hours every fucking night anyway. Anybody who knows a truck driver knows that they have a mandatory 8-hour rest period every single day. Mandatory.
Mm. Yep. And that's good.
Well, guess
twice.
What? 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. That's
yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, most people do a 7-day work week. Truck drivers do a 8-day work week. So, 7.45-ish, less than 8 hours a day that they can roll for 8 days a week. If you do 9 hours a day, you're going to be down for at least 2-3 days. Then when that day comes back up, okay, get in the truck, go drive for another 9. So, it's 7.45 hours, I believe. I mean, that's what I used to do when I drove over the road.
And being allowed to go 16 hours, and that's the whole thing, being able to drive 16 hours, which to me is still a lot because that's a lot on the body. But that's why I say even truck drivers, because I know that truck drivers like to push it because they're paid by the load and paid by the mile. But guess what?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dead people can't spend no money.
Yep.
And if you're in a damn nursing home, what you gonna explain? In a vegetative state. I just look at the different things, and that's why I truly am a firm believer that from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m.
Mm.
I mean, now I understand, like, if you got to go from point A to point B. Now, like, if I got to get up and I got to go someone's house, that's different. But I'm talking about long-haul drivers. There's no reason for there to be 18-wheelers on the road from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. There's no reason for you to be going to Granny's house in another damn state, okay?
And see, that I disagree with because, I mean, a lot of the food warehouses, they want deliveries between 4 and 6 a.m. Now, if you're a car hauler, they want deliveries basically 8, 9 o'clock a.m. until roughly about 4, 3, 4. That way, you're missing most of the crowd coming in and trying to buy cars.
But guess what? That's when you change the mentality of these spaces. Because, see, the truck drivers are driving those long hours and pushing it because these spaces want this at a certain time. But guess what?
Yeah.
You got to change the mentality of everybody. If the law says you can't be on the road between these hours, well, guess what? You can't get your shipment at that time. You're going to have to adjust your fucking hour. You're going to have to, and think about it. Come on now. I understand the produce people, they might want their shit between 4 and 6, but guess what? Do you want your damn shipment or do you want it on the fucking middle of fucking I-75?
Exactly.
Because.
And I do agree.
Change the mentality. I understand what you're saying. But you have to change the mentality and the culture because before the 1950s, before we had a major interstate system, people were not driving really at night. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
If you was out past 10 o'clock, wasn't shit going on but making babies in trouble. So,
So I agree.
Why can't we still have that going on? I mean, there are some things like I liked it. I feel like this. I love the fact that there are places I can go and get food at 2 or 3 in the morning, but guess what? The pandemic has shown me that I do not need to be grocery store at 3 in the morning. As a person, and I'm saying this as the person who used to go to the grocery store at 3 in the morning. This pandemic, you know, because I didn't want to be around people. This pandemic has shown me, guess what? I could still be at the grocery store at 6 in the morning and get the same amount of food as I could at 3 in the morning and still not really be around that many people.
Yeah, true.
So, no, I don't need to be at the grocery store at 3 in the morning doing my shopping. It was convenient, but is it something that's necessary? No.
Yeah.
Sure, I never go to the store at 3 in the morning or 4 in the morning. I mean, in my area, there's no... Very little stores that opens 24 hours a day.
I'm in the 24-hour-a-day state. Shit. We got the casinos. We got Walmart. We got Meijer. I mean, we've got a number of stores that are open. I mean, and I'm talking about grocery. Up until the pandemic, we had grocery stores that were open 24 hours. So when you're looking at a 24-hour society, I mean, I could go around the corner from my daughter's house and get food at 2, 3, 4, or 5 o'clock in the morning. So, again, the pandemic has showed me, and probably a whole lot of other people, that do I really need that 24/7 convenient thing? No. I could be at the grocery store at 6 o'clock in the morning and get the same amount of food.
Yeah.
So, I'm hoping from the pandemic that some things have been shown that they're just not that. Is that convenience worth our safety? That's the best way to put it.
Right.
Yep.
Because I no longer feel the need to have the Walmart that's open 24 hours and the Meijer Thrifty Acres that's open 24 hours. And the Denny's is open 24 hours. I just no longer feel the need for those restaurants or those places I was going to. Because guess what? I just spent 15 months of not going to those places at 3 in the morning. So if I just spent 15 months of not doing that, I think I could go longer without doing it. And I think that it would be a low. Think about the number of major accidents that we were hearing before they started opening stuff up. We weren't hearing as many bad truck accidents because of, you know, during the pandemic. Food was still getting from place to place. But we weren't hearing about those major accidents, not as many.
Right.
There are just a number of things. I think that as a whole, we as a country need to look at some of the things that were positives that came out of this pandemic. And I can tell you, I know a great number of people lost a lot of weight during the pandemic because, people in the fast food and the restaurant industry lost their jobs, but the number of people who were cooking at home and focusing more on their health also went up. Am I saying let's close down all the fast food restaurants? No. But I wasn't a person who went to fast food restaurants a lot, but I'm not going to sit here and dispel them either. What I'm going to say is that let's treat fast food restaurants like they used to treat them. Instead of that being your breakfast, instead of that being all you live on, how about it be like when we were growing up? It was a treat to go to McDonald's. You know, if you got McDonald's, that was a treat.
Yep.
Got your hamburger, or at least cheeseburger, little cheeseburger, french fries,
pizza
and shit.
Pizza was a treat. You know, it used to be Monday through Friday, you had home-cooked food.
Mm-hmm.
Monday through Friday. KFC, now, if it was rough on the, you know, let's say that it was a long Sunday, then you got KFC for dinner. And that was considered like a treat because then nobody cooked. You know, you got KFC with the mashed potatoes and they string beans, you know, and you thought
and
you were cooking. We had KFC yesterday.
That's your Sunday dinner right there.
But that's what I'm saying.
Damn. You guys,
but it was a treat.
I mean, KFC was definitely a treat. If we wanted fried chicken and all that, oh, it was Church's
fried chicken.
That also.
Oh, Hell yeah.
Love
and my mom
churches.
Loves
but I'm just,
the jalapenos.
That's when they were good. They jalapenos ain't like they used to be. Them I used to go get the jalapenos by myself. I would go to the Church's Chicken just for the jalapenos. They jalapenos ain't like they used to.
No.
I don't know what they got now.
I'm not a fan of jalapeno peppers. I never tried
but the whole
it,
thing, that used to be a treat. It used to be a treat to get fast food. Now it's, I'm on my way to work. Let me stop at McDonald's. Oh, for lunch, I'm going to have McDonald's. For dinner, I'm going to have McDonald's. You know, I don't do it. But there are children, there are families who will tell you, I mean, that's what their household is living off of, McDonald's or Burger King or Checkers or Arby's. You know, they're living off some fast food restaurant. And it's not because their parents work there. It's because society has gotten away from the sit down with the family.
Right.
Yeah.
My children, you know, hell. And then they got so many microwave meals. I mean, my daughter knows how to cook. The number of men that do not know how to cook is pathetic. The number of women that don't know how to cook is really pathetic. And I say that because I was raised that the best place to a man's heart is through his stomach. I know how to get rid of man, too, because, see, if I don't want to be bothered, I'm real good to say, I don't cook. I will tell somebody I don't cook. When people hear that I cook, I had a gentleman not so long ago when I was telling him some stuff that I did over Memorial Day weekend. He was like, oh, I didn't know you cooked like that. I didn't know you. I was like, oh, I know how to cook. I just don't like to cook.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And when I say that I don't know how to cook, I don't know how to cook for one person. As long as I've been an adult, I've cooked for either myself along with my children, or when I was married, I was cooking for my husband before we had children. Then when we had children, I was cooking for the whole family.
Yep.
So as far as this knowing how to cook for one person, I don't know how to cook for one person. When I cook on a damn Sunday, that damn food, leftover is only good to me after 3 days. After 3 days, that shit is boring, okay?
Yep. Right.
Amen.
And since I don't know how to cook small meals, I will opt not to cook. But what I will do, because I will eat salad every day, I will make a big salad on a Sunday and eat that all week. But I won't go like, now I'm getting better, like when I make my fish and my chicken, because I'm getting better with that. But like first of all, I'm sorry, but I can't fire up the grill for just one little damn thing. First of all, I use charcoal. I don't have a gas grill. I don't comprehend gas grills. I'm a charcoal girl. So you do not fire up the charcoal grill for one damn thing. You cook when you go on the charcoal grill. You know, you don't say, I'm just going to throw me a steak on the grill.
Mm.
No. Now, when you got a charcoal grill, you're going to throw a steak on there. You're going to throw some chicken. You're going to throw some food on there.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what? When you are a single woman, then you don't know how to cook. Because that's cooking like for, I'm cooking for 4 or 5 people when I'm on the grill. Because that's how long the grill stays hot.
Yep.
Well, all I can say
like
is
I do
that
my,
I'm...
Like I'm firing up the grill next Saturday. I'm firing up the grill on Juneteenth. But when I fire up the grill on Juneteenth, I'm firing up because I have a shitload of corn in my freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And my corn is so goddamn good. This is the corn from last year. Because I went to the farmer's market where I got it fresh. Oh, no. See, when I go and get it, I have probably about 30 ears of corn in my freezer. It's probably down to about 25 now. But I'll fire up the grill, and I grill my corn in the husk. And when I freeze it, it's in the husk. So I never take the husk off my corn. So it goes straight into the freezer like that. And when we put it in the freezer like that, my daughter loves the corn. We had corn a couple of weeks ago. And when I throw that corn onto the grill, you would think it came just fresh out of the field. It's just the juicy and everything, straight out the freezer. And I know people are saying they had never heard that, but you, if you want to have corn all year long that is fresh, freeze your corn in the husk. Do not take the husk off of it. Take the, freeze the corn in the husk. First of all, pick your own damn corn. Don't just go to the doggone grocery store and tell me, I'm going to give me some corn. You got to make sure you pick juicy corn. I pick juicy corn. So I know how to pick my corn. So when I pick my corn, and the store that I, the farmer's market I go to is only open for like 3 months throughout the year. But close to the end of the corn season, I have buy one bag, get two bags free. Well, you can normally fit 12 ears of corn in one bag. So if you buy one and get two free, you're getting 36 ears of corn.
Damn.
And I normally get that in September, and I freeze it. So I can fire up my grill randomly in the wintertime and have corn. And it's just as juicy as if it was done that day. And the farmer's market that I go to does not open back up until July. So can you imagine me looking for fucking corn that damn juicy? It's faces that got it, but not like what I got.
Yeah.
So my daughter said, Mom, we still got corn. I was like, yep. She's like, can we have corn on Saturday? I was like, yep. So guess what? On Saturday morning, I'm going to take the corn out the freezer. And it don't even have to thaw out because it will thaw out and cook on the grill like that.
Right.
And it's so good.
Mm.
But that's why I don't know how to cook for one damn person.
All I can say is I'm lucky that I know how to cook, being a single person, living by myself. Because if I didn't know how to cook, I would be one skinny. I would be one skinny motherfucker because I would starve myself.
No, you would be like somebody I know who I will say nameless. All they got is a fucking George Foreman grill, and they think that's cooking.
Oh, damn.
I would be one skinny motherfucker if I didn't know how to cook. I mean, I'm just glad. All I'm just saying, I'm glad I know how to cook. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to change the subject. Okay.
People, it is hot outside. If you don't like water, get you, what's that, that mild, you know that damn commercial where they add the flavor to the water? Drink some fucking water. But you fucking alcoholics, learn how to drink some goddamn water. Because I can tell you, I had a drink on Friday because I had some watermelon Ciroc, and I was looking on what to mix with it. I had one damn drink. I was like, well, I can't drink this shit. First of all, I can't drink like I used to, but when it's hot outside, alcohol will get you higher when it's hot. So learn how to drink water, people. I mean, if you have never drank so much water, now should be the time. Like, what y'all been hearing me, I've been sipping on water all day long. Drink some fucking water. I don't want anybody to get dehydrated. This is the time of year. This country is currently going through a drought. So I want people to understand, we are going through a drought. This is not rumor. Watch any fucking damn newscast. They're talking about how we're going through a drought. That doesn't mean don't drink the fucking water. That means don't water your goddamn grass. Understand what that means? You still need to drink water. You don't have to go water your fucking grass, but you need to be drinking some water. I've been making sure I stay hydrated. Heat exhaustion and all of that is a terrible thing to go through. If you have animals, make sure they have water. My dog apparently thinks that I'm trying to drown them because I keep water around for them. I'm sure they think that I'm trying to drown their asses because people will come to my house and probably say, damn, what is this bitch doing? Because I have big water bowls for them throughout my house. Because an animal can't really walk up to you and say, hey, I want to drink some water. They're going to go as they need it, but they need to know it's available for them. So all over my house, it's water.
Mm-hmm.
And if I think I need some water and I see, like, there's some water, now I will cut off the water for the dogs because they ask to pee all night. They don't know how to, like, hold that shit all night long. So, like, I do cut off the dog's water at night. And don't be afraid to get them some ice cubes or whatever. I mean, that's just where it is. I can't believe we're coming to the end of our season. This season seemed like it went quick, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We got 2 more weeks and we'll be off into September. And this seems like one of our longest breaks. I can't believe, because, like, we don't come back until, like, damn near the middle of September. Normally we're back at the beginning of September. But we literally, because of the way Labor Day falls,
mm-hmm.
we don't come back until the 12th of September.
Wow.
So that's crazy. But I do want to let everybody know, just because we won't be on the air, I will be on Facebook Live more. I didn't go on today because my hair was a hot mess. I didn't want to scare nobody because the Afro puff on the top of my head, oh, Jesus. My wig couldn't even cover that
so
long.
It was
and
hot.
I wasn't going to put no wig on.
And muggy.
But I will be on the weekends. I will not have a set time. So people look for me to be online. I will be on Facebook Live either on a Saturday or a Sunday. I might even try to do Instagram Live. I'm not making no promises, but I may try. This water is good.
Yeah, you gotta drink that water. I drink water all the time. Wherever I see water, there it is. I'm gonna try and get dehydrated.
Well, I'm trying to get me a personalized cup. That's something that I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into this brand called Turbis. You guys always hear, like, the metal clicking. Because
yeah.
I'm always drinking out of a Turbis cup. I've been drinking
mm-hmm.
out of Turbis cup. I've been drinking out of Turbis cups for about 4 years now. These cups keep my stuff so cold. And when I say I have my daughter bought the cup for me 1 year for my birthday because I love elephants.
Mm-hmm.
And I was drinking out of it. And we went to Indianapolis and I saw the actual Turbis store, and I took my daughter in there. Now she took on the Turbis cups because they also have plastic cups. These cups, either they're metal and they're plastic cups, they keep shit so damn cold. It is crazy. We have, like, a ton of Detroit Lions cups that are Turbis cups now. Plus, she's got Harry Potter cups. I have my elephant cups. But when I tell you that we love these cups, I haven't got their champagne glass. Okay? So, yeah. So I'm actually looking like now to see if I could get a personalized cup from them because I want something that says Ms. V on it. So that's what I'm working on. So if you guys see me posting like a new cup, that'll be because that's what I'm trying to do, get my own cup. But we're coming to the end of the show. We done had a great show, everybody. And I want everybody to have a great week. Remember, Saturday is Juneteenth. People, educate yourself. I know some people might be having some barbecues. Y'all go enjoy the barbecue, but educate yourself. We will be firing off fireworks where I'm at. But everybody have a great week, and we'll be back next Sunday.
Bye.
Yo, I don't think we should talk about this.
Come on, why not?
People might misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know?
No, but
might not want to play this record either.
But everybody has sex.
I know, but everybody should be making love.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about